Hear the reading of our text from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. When I was here at Bethany College, they used to have a room over in the gymnasium where you could play ping pong, and it was kind of a closed-off room. We called it the weight room because they kept the weights in there, and there were little glass windows in the hallway that you could look in. One day I happened to be playing ping pong with a friend of mine, and I, believe it or not, won a shot, and he got very upset and took and smashed his paddle really hard and cursed, just yelled out, I think he took the Lord's name in vain. And just then, over his shoulder, I looked and saw the face of one of my religion professors looking in through the window. And he opened the door and stuck his head in and said, "What's going on in here?" And to this day, I don't know if he actually heard what was said or not, but I can remember a sense of guilt that I felt just being there, that sense inside of myself that I was involved in something that was wrong. Maybe you've had that before where you kind of get caught by somebody, or somebody that maybe has a higher moral authority over you, and suddenly they catch you in something. I remember years ago visiting a man that was planning to join a church I was serving, and just as I was leaving, talking to him and his wife about church, he was in retirement age. Here I happened to look, and as I was picking up my coat, and back behind a chair was a stack of pornography that you could tell had been stuck back there on purpose because the pastor was coming. When I was here at chapel many years ago, I remember one of the professors saying, if Jesus were to stop by and visit you, what kind of things would you hide in your room? Or what kind of language might you clean up? Or how might you act differently? We're often very intimidated by the goodness of other people, the morality that other people represent, especially when someone has a moral authority position over us. And when we're confronted with that, and especially when it's in a situation where they may see us and hear us in our sins, that can produce a lot of trepidation inside of us. And pastors often cause that in people when they walk into a room and so on, but trust me, pastors are no different than anybody else. We have the same problem as well. Now, if you and I can feel guilty and sense this problem in us just when somebody of a higher moral authority walks into a room for us, just think what it would be like before God, before God himself. We may be able to fool parents and teachers and pastors and friends and people. We may be able to kind of manipulate what we do and how we do it and what we say at the right time and keep words in the right conversations and so on. We can fool a lot of people, maybe everybody in the world, but when it comes down to God, that's a completely different scenario. Our Lord Jesus is coming. He's coming back. And God wants us to be ready for that. And so how does God get us ready for that? The text before us from the book of Malachi is a beautiful prophecy about the work of John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, who had come to prepare the way before the Lord, preaching his word and getting people's hearts ready for the coming of Christ. He says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." And if you study the preaching, and if you study the words and the life of John the Baptist in the Gospels, you will find that he did not hold back. He did not hold back on the severity and harshness of God's law. If sin was to be preached about, he preached about sin. It didn't matter what his culture thought. It didn't matter what authorities thought. In fact, it caused him to lose his head. His faithfulness to the Word of God in boldly proclaiming sin as sin and coming and showing people and demonstrating to them the problems that they had, his boldness in doing that caused him to end up with his head on a platter. But this is essential work in the kingdom of God. It's the way God, even today, still prepares hearts for our Lord's coming. To come to us with the knife of his law and to carve us up, to get each one of us personally inside of our hearts and consciences and mind, even though we could fool everybody else, to come to the realization we cannot fool God. And he sees everything about us. He sees everything we've done. He's heard everything we've said. And he reads our very thoughts. And to expose in us this cancer. And then to tell us that the wages of sin is death. Not just dying in this life, but eternal death. Separation from God. That's reality. That's the type of law that God sent John the Baptist to proclaim and that he still wants proclaimed today. Even though our culture and society may try to convince us that things that God says are sinful aren't really that bad anymore, in the end, that doesn't matter what society thinks. Morality does not come down to a vote. Morality comes from the legislation of God and God alone. And what he says and what he determines is what exposes sin in us. And so even today, the John the Baptists that still stand in God's pulpits today are to proclaim the word, preach the word, exhort, convince people, show us our sin. Because it's never going to help me or you to have our sin minimized or justified by our society and culture. It will never help us on the great day of judgment. Now, all of this work of preaching the severity of God's law is done to lead us to the primary work of the coming one, to get us ready for what our Lord Jesus had to come into this world to do. His entire mission and focus, his entire target, the bullseye that he wanted to hit with his work, is that sense of fear and guilt in your heart over our sins, just like I have. He wanted to target that. And his whole mission was intended to come and go to the cross, to make complete, hear me, complete and full atonement and payment for all of that guilt that troubles your conscience before God. To grant you the full remission of all of your sins. This was his primary work. And God to this day still wants those John the Baptist that stand and proclaim his truth to get people ready for the coming of Christ to preach both his law and his gospel. His law to expose in us how desperately we need the coming Lord. But the sweetness as well of what he's come to do and to bring. That every one of you here listening today can know that before God, your sins have been canceled and wiped away. He now looks at you as holy and perfect saints. And through faith in this coming Savior, you have the full promise of going to heaven someday. Because of that sweetness of the message of Christ, we hear that we can delight in this coming one. The Hebrew word here for delight is interesting. It's the idea of deriving pleasure from something, from visiting a piece of land or having a garment placed on you that you like, something that is so wonderful that it evokes in us a longing for this to happen and for it to come. You and I can now, because of what Christ's mission has been and what it has accomplished already, you and I can now delight in the coming of the Lord. We can delight in his return because we know that it will be to bring us what we've all been waiting for, entrance into heaven. And he will suddenly come to his temple, just like the Lord Jesus in the arms of Simeon was brought into that temple in Jerusalem. You and I now, by faith in Christ, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he now waits to come and to visit his very body, his church, the temple, and to take us home forever. And so the proclamation of God's law and gospel must continue till the end of time to prepare us properly for the coming Lord, the one who has come on this great mission to redeem us and save us. Amen.